The university submitted its response to the NCAA yesterday, and we made public copy today available as soon as possible to comply with the North Carolina Public Records Act and to continue to be as transparent as we can throughout this process. Later, the university will post accompanying exhibits which we provided with our response to the NCAA. At this time, Bubba has a few opening remarks. Then Audra will instruct you how to ask questions. We have about 20 minutes for Q&A today, so we'll try and get to as many questions as we can at that time. Bubba?
Thanks, Steve. As Steve mentioned, you know, earlier today in our news release, and now that we have posted our response to the NCAA's amended notice of allegations, I want to take a little bit of time to provide some background that I'm allowed to provide at this time. Since receiving the amended NOA in late April, we've carefully considered the appropriate university response based on a thorough analysis of the NCAA's constitution and applicable bylaws. The question before the NCAA Committee on Infractions is whether the events at the university violated specific NCAA bylaws. Our response to the amended notice is narrow in scope. It's to focus on the allegations and the jurisdiction of the NCAA related to these issues. We have accepted responsibility as a university for what happened, and we have apologized. We have also taken action to hold individuals accountable and to implement more than 70 reforms and initiatives. We have taken extraordinary steps to uphold our academic standards, and our accrediting agency, the Southern Associations of Colleges, has affirmed that those are our standards. Our response is a very important step in what has been a difficult chapter in Carolina's history. I will now turn the call back to Steve and be available to comment on NCAA processes and policies, but please know I cannot comment on the substance of our case.
Thanks, Bubba. At this time, Audra, our operator, will give you instructions on how to ask questions. Audra?
We'll go first to Dana O'Neill at ESPN.
Hi, Bubba. Reading this and trying to put it in Cliff Notes form, it seems like the argument is basically that the NCAA does not have jurisdiction here. And I'm just wondering if you could kind of walk us through, you know, what precedent or why you think that is the case.
Well, thanks, Dana. I appreciate you being on the call. And, you know, I think you've analyzed it very well. You know, the NCAA membership, we've worked long and hard studying and trying to decide what should and shouldn't be a bylaw, what is and is not within the manual. And the quality of the class, we understand and have said for quite some time, the rigor of our classes is something that we have worked with SACS. But just because it didn't meet our normal standards doesn't necessarily mean it's a violation of a bylaw.
We'll go next to John McKinnon at the Herald Sun.
Hey, Ms. Cunningham. Can I try to boil it down a little bit further than Ms. O'Neill and ask, is it fair to say that UNC is admitting wrongdoing, but is very wisely playing a game of spirit of the law versus letter of the law to circumvent punishment?
What we're responding to are the five specific allegations. And the allegations in allegation one is the actions of a counselor in our academic support unit. And we have addressed that in the response. And then when it comes to failure to monitor and lack of institutional control, I think those do become jurisdictional questions that the committee will resolve.
We'll take our next question from Andy Katz at ESPN.
Hey, Bubba. Thanks for doing this today. I'm curious, in your discussions amongst yourselves, what kind of self-imposed penalties ever came up for discussion as possibly that you might impose that maybe even never saw the light of day?
Andy, again, thanks for being on, and you know, I'm not going to get into kind of speculation or thoughts or considerations that we may have had to go into this, and so I'm going to let our response speak for itself.
But can I ask a quick follow-up to that? And that,
sure.
I'm curious, Bubba. You know, obviously, we've seen over the years countless schools have done something substantial, and that usually lessens the penalty. How concerned are you that North Carolina didn't take that action as you wait for the rest of this process of the Committee on Infractions hearing and then ultimately a decision?
Well, I think that's a great follow-up question, Andy. I think that, again, the self-imposition of penalties is based upon a rules violation by the institution. And in this case, we're not quite there yet in making a determination on self-imposing any penalties.
We'll go next to Sophia Edelman at the Daily Tar Heel newspaper.
Hi. We were wondering, in the previous notice of allegations, there was a lot of talk about men's basketball and football, and we saw a lot less of that in these amended notice of allegations and a lot more of talk about women's basketball. I was wondering if there are any specific things that the university did to make it so that the issues with those two sports were not so much so as the women's basketball issues.
No. Our response to the amended notice of allegation is simply a response to the allegations made against the institution. What was included or not is a question for the NCAA.
Can I ask a quick follow-up on that? What do you think are the next steps in making sure that the rest of the allegations that the university said that they accepted in the amended NOA are dealt with?
Sorry, I didn't understand your question. I'm sorry.
What would you say are the next steps that the university is going to take to address the rest of the allegations that the university accepted in the amended notice of allegations?
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, we have submitted the response to the NCAA. Our next step is to have a meeting with the Committee on Infractions. And then the final step beyond that would be adjudication by the Committee on Infractions of what any sanctions may be held against the institution.
We'll go next to Aaron Beard at the Associated Press.
Hey, Bubba. I was looking at Jan Boxall's response in her notice, and there's some frustration about, I guess, a lack of assistance from the university in dealing with numerous emails and her response that the university has but isn't providing assistance with going through them. What level of cooperation or, I guess, going back and forth have you guys had, and how much, I guess, assistance have you guys been providing them in their response?
That's a great question, Aaron. You know, we feel like we have been very cooperative through the entire process, both with the NCAA and with anyone else who has asked. We've been open and transparent in everything that we have done. And, you know, I'll let her response speak for itself. But, you know, we've done everything we can that we think is appropriate for the institution and for those that we represent.
And if I could ask one follow-up, just because you haven't self-imposed a penalty here, I mean, you can do, in theory, you could do that at any point in the process before an NCAA rules, correct?
True. Right up until the hearing is traditionally when you have that time. But you could do it probably prior, all the way up until they rule.
Right. So my question would be, because of the position you have in here, does this mean the idea of imposing your own penalties is pretty much off the table for you guys altogether, or do you think that's still something pending that you guys will consider before a hearing?
Well, it's an option available to us. I prefer not to speculate on what we may or may not do.
And we'll take a question from John Camp at WTVD.
Hey, Bubba, I was wondering if you could step us through the individual allegations. I think you started to do this, and I just wanted to make sure I had some comprehensive idea. Step us through the individual allegations and then the university's response, if you could. And specifically institutional control and lack of monitoring. Thanks.
Sure. As I indicated, the allegations in one are factual in nature, and so our response is factual, either confirming or refuting the allegation. Two and three, we concur with. Four, we disagree with part of it and think that another part of it is out of the jurisdictional responsibilities of the NCAA, and we do not agree with lack of institutional control.
Can I follow up on that then? Can you dive into four? You said you disagree with part of it and the other part. Can you just explain that for us, step through it?
Well, it is in the response, but I would say that we've admitted that we failed to monitor Jan Boxall appropriately. But we don't think we have failed to monitor academic support for student-athletes in totality, nor do we think it's a responsibility of the athletic department to monitor AFAM, as was indicated in the allegation.
Bob, if I could, I'd love to follow up one more time then with the number five and how you disagree with the lack of institutional with this monitoring, rather. Can you talk a little bit about that and why the university is disputing that?
Sure. Again, we feel that we've had two individuals in an academic unit that operated out of the norm. We have one counselor who's been accused of providing too much academic support. All of this transpired over a 20-year period. That's three individuals over a long period of time. We don't believe that that constitutes lack of institutional control.
But it was so many students that went through this, so many classes, ultimately. I'd love to hear you tease that out a little bit more.
I'm responding to the allegations that we have before us, and that's what the response is. As I mentioned earlier in the teleconference, that we've had a lot of reforms. We've had classes that didn't meet our rigor, but whether or not that's a violation of a bylaw is what we're asking the Committee on Infractions to determine.
We'll move to our next question from Dana O'Neill at ESPN.
Bubba, just a quick follow-up. You know, in light of what happened with Penn State where the NCAA came in and then had to kind of redo what they did, I was wondering if any consideration was made sort of to the climate as to what the NCAA can and can't do with recent investigations as you guys are going forward determining your response here.
Well, Dana, I think it's a fair question. You know, I think a very significant difference is that, you know, the Penn State case stepped out of all NCAA procedural processes, and this case is working through the procedural processes, which is why we have responded in that same fashion through the normal enforcement process. And that's really the biggest difference between the two.
Right. I understand that, obviously, but I'm just wondering, just in general, do you feel there's a climate out there that, I don't say reining in, but trying to determine what the NCAA should and shouldn't be involved in seems to be an issue that has certainly come to the forefront recently, and I'm just wondering how that factored in.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, I think that is a jurisdictional question. And for many, many years, as I mentioned earlier, you know, we have presidents on the council, we have faculty athletics reps on the council, and each and every time we look at, you know, what is the role of the NCAA relative to academics? You know, they stay out of it. They don't want NCAA in the classroom, nor do I think they should be. So the model is that we work with our accrediting agency, and the NCAA is our athletic agency, and they each have different jurisdictional responsibilities.
And we'll go next to Aaron Beard at the Associated Press.
Bob, there was one other thing I wanted to ask you about. I was looking through this, and there was a point made to the March 2012 sanctions that it's sort of as a closed case, and I guess it's a bit of a double jeopardy argument in legal terms. But I guess how do you balance that part that the NCAA had knowledge of some of these elements when they ruled in March of 2012 versus the Weinstein Report coming out in 2014 and seeming to provide a more detailed picture of the problems? I guess, how do you balance that going from final to there was additional information to be found and respond to?
Well, the additional information that was discovered is part of the allegations, and we are responding to that. I do think some decisions that were previously made, you know, need to be recognized, and I think when we meet with the Committee on Infractions, that will be a discussion point.
We'll go next to Christopher Williams, Time Warner Cable News.
Hey, Bubba, I had a quick question. When it comes to issuing penalties, what are you most concerned or worried about?
You know, penalties are probably just one thing I worry about every day. I worry about all kinds of things every day, and I haven't engaged in any speculation about penalties. You know, our total focus has been on responding to the amended notice. We will shift our attention in the next coming months to our meeting with the Committee on Infractions. And I will worry about penalties at that time, but that's not something that consumes a lot of my time right now because that is speculation in my mind.
And we'll move next to AC Jackson at the Daily Tar Heel.
Hi, Bubba. I was wondering, we've been talking a lot about institutional control, and I was wondering if you could define what the university has decided institutional control means.
Boy, now that's a really broad question. And a challenging one. As it relates to this case, you know, I'm responding to the potential underlying violations and do those violations constitute lack of institutional control? And in our institutional opinion, it does not. So on a global basis, how would I try to define lack of institutional control? It's virtually impossible to articulate that. In fact, there's no specific NCAA definition of what that is. It's you have lack of institutional control if there are violations substantive violations in specific areas, and we do not see that in this case.
And we'll go to Jack Howard at Daily Tar Heel.
Hey, Bubba. So the university has challenged the claim of lack of institutional control, and you guys have distanced yourselves from the allegations of academic counselors being involved in the first notice of allegations. Why is it that there were academic counselors and administrative figures that were fired as a result of all of these accusations?
Well, you know, again, today I am responding to the amended notice of allegations. Personnel questions or decisions certainly aren't a topic for me to get into. I think it's a very legitimate question, but I don't think it's for me at this time.
I was just wondering if I could follow up with that. Was that something then that was decided independent of this and was not related to this whole allegation thing? Or?
Again, I think it's a university decision, and I think it's a university question, but I don't think it's appropriate for me to try to answer that today.
And at this time, we have no further questions.
Okay, well, thank you so much. I just wanted to make one last comment / observation. You know, it's been a really long time in this amended notice coming and our response to the amended notice. And I wanted to make perfectly clear that we're in a difficult spot because we have a former faculty member who was an academic counselor assisting with students, many of which were women's basketball players. And so it does appear that women's basketball is at risk. But I want to be perfectly clear that I'm pleased that none of the women's basketball coaches are named. Coach Hatchell has endured an incredible last couple of years, both personally and professionally. But I also want people to know that she has our complete support, as do all of the students that participate in women's basketball. And I'm really looking forward to watching our competitive team play. And many of you probably know that they're over in Ireland and Scotland this week competing and are preparing for the next season. But there's just been so much speculation about where women's basketball fits in this. You know, it's been a very difficult time, and I just want to thank Coach Hatchell for all she has done and all she's endured in the last couple of years.